Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. So 3 weeks in a row, we've had these parables that are very difficult. So I even saw choir members making eyeballs at each other during today's reading. I really, truly have decided I either need to read a bunch of books or go back to seminary and take a class again on the parables, because Matthew's parables seem to be so challenging to me as the one offering the message, but also I think just in general, they're just really challenging. I mean, the one for today, I thought they were really bad a couple weeks ago, and then today we have the king who picks people off the street, brings them to his party, and the one guy wasn't dressed right. I mean, did he have time to go home and change? I don't know. And because he's not dressed right, he's kicked out into the outer darkness. Really? I mean, what does it say about the kingdom of God? And I really struggled with it. I had no idea where to go, and frankly, still struggle with it. And then it occurred to me, oh, right, Scripture's hard, and so is our faith. It's okay to struggle with these passages. It's okay to ask questions and to persevere in the midst of challenges. So I did something a couple weeks ago that I actually haven't done since I moved to Hawaii. And I haven't done this, which is baking bread, because frankly, it's too hot. It's really just too hot in my house to turn on the oven. And I was probably a little delusional from the heat or something, but I decided I was going to bake bread. I just had a hankering to do it. My friend has a bread machine, and I thought, oh, that'd be great. Didn't get it from him in time. I thought, I'm just going to do it anyway. So I did what normal people do when you're getting ready to bake bread. You go in your cabinets and you find all the ingredients. And I pulled out the yeast, I pulled out the flour. I was going to use wheat and whole wheat flour and white flour. And I pulled out the honey and salt, and I was ready to go. And so I am like sort of halfway through mixing up and sifting the flour, and I go to get the yeast ready, and I realize it expired over a year ago. I haven't baked bread since I moved here. And I could just hear my mother saying, well, Angela Jean, you should have known better, right? So I'm getting through the flour, and I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to waste it. So I put the yeast in the water with a little salt, and I'm thinking, is it going to do anything? I don't know. Believe it or not, it was actually alive. It was actually alive after being out of date for so long. So I thought, okay, I'm in luck. This is a good day. Super. So I'm doing what you're supposed to do. I'm getting all the ingredients ready. And I'm just so excited that the yeast actually seems like it's going to do something. And without thinking about it, I just pour all of the flour and everything into the yeast. Again, I can hear my mother saying, Angela, you know you're not supposed to do that. You know, if you're a bread baker or a baker at all, you know you have to have just the right amount of flour with the liquid. Otherwise, it's just going to be not quite right. And I thought, oh, man, you never pour all of the flour into the mixture at once. You just don't do it. For bread, flour must be added a little at a time and stirred in and then kneaded and then add a little bit more and knead a little bit more, just so that you make sure you have the right consistency so that you don't have too much flour in the mixture. But now that the flour was soaking in the liquid, I had no choice but to just knead, to just kind of knead it. I wasn't about to throw it away because I still had a hankering for homemade bread. I thought, I'm going to give it a try. And so I'm kneading it, and stirring it, and kneading it, and I'm getting kind of tired because it's tough, and there's just too much flour, and I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. The dough was really heavy and thick and a little too sticky at the same time. It just was not right. So I kneaded it anyway, and I tried to make it as much as I could into a ball. And I thought, okay, it's not kneaded enough, but I'm going to give it a shot. So I put it in a bowl, covered it up, let it sit there for a while. And I came back, and lo and behold, it actually had grown the way it was supposed to. And I went, wow, okay. So I punched it back down as you're supposed to, and I put it back in another ball, and I covered it up, and I sort of thought, well, we'll see. In another hour, I came back, and indeed, again, it did what it was supposed to do. Okay, I messed up, but it's still working for me. So I put it in the oven, crossed my fingers a little bit, and lo and behold, it came out. And to my surprise, even with all of my mistakes, the yeast that was outdated, too much flour, not enough kneading, all kinds of things that I did to mess up, the texture was perfect. The bread was actually really good. It was a little bit too dry, but that's what butter's for, right? Right? Or a little Nutella, or perhaps a little jam of your choosing. It was really pretty good. And it's amazing to me that with all of these problems with the expired yeast, it actually came out just fine. I always thought that baking bread was like an art form. You had to have it just right. Baking in general, the right amounts of everything is really important. It's like a science. Well, even with all the mistakes, it came out just right. And I wonder if bread is incredibly flexible and adaptive, prone to turn out well, even under the challenging circumstances. Our readings for today, the reading especially from Philippians and from Matthew, suggest that we are prone to come out well even when we are faced with challenging circumstances. Even when we do things wrong, even with the best of all intentions and we mess up along the way, even though we persevere, but it's not quite right, we surprise ourselves and get to the end. Through the challenges, things often come out okay. The community at Philippi, who Paul was writing to, were struggling through some sort of conflict. Seems like Paul was always writing to communities struggling in conflict, struggling to find out what it is to be a community. But Paul writes to this wonderful community in Philippi to assure them, to give them some sort of comfort, to settle them down. It's like you can almost hear him say, just count to 10, it's okay. And to help them focus their mission, focus on their call. And then we have Matthew's gospel. As much as it's challenging and I struggle with this parable, we are through it reminded that God will go to great lengths to bring everyone into the kingdom. And all we need to do to qualify for God's kingdom is to live a life of transformation and perseverance. It's a little bit like the bread dough rising from the yeast within. We are called to have a life where we are striving to become the very best version of ourselves that we can manage to achieve. So if we are to come out well, even when facing these challenges, how do we do it, right? Again, our readings offer us just a little bit of advice, a little bit of insight in how to live. It says we should practice living our faith in and through the challenges we face, not to give up when things get difficult, not to turn our back when conflict might arise. We practice by, I think, nurturing an attitude of joyfulness and an attitude of gratefulness in the midst of the challenges. Paul calls that acting or living as forbearance, and says that this forbearance will lead to great joy. I think joy is this sort of misunderstood thing. Oftentimes we think joy equals happiness. Well, I don't think it does. It's not about being happy and feeling happy-go-lucky, if you will. It's not about having things make us smile and feeling good about them. Joy, I think, is rather a discipline. I think it's a discipline of perception, perceiving how we see the world, how it is that you see circumstances and your own life situation. People facing difficult times can still live with joy in their hearts. They might not feel happy, but there is joy. This is not about just platitudes and falsities. It's not a naive thing to feel joy. It's not ignoring the difficulty around you. Joy comes from having God and Christ as the center of our lives, and having that reality your spiritual center. When we're able to focus our lives in such a way that we develop that awareness for God's presence, regardless of life circumstances, that's where we feel a sense of peace, and that peace leads to joy. I remember very clearly a few years back when I was training for the ministry. I was doing my clinical pastoral education, which is your CPE experience, in a clinical setting. I was in a hospital setting. And we would have to have one-on-one conversations with our supervisors. My supervisor was actually a supervisor in training, wasn't fully certified yet, and so he was learning as well. And so I'm sitting talking with him one day, and he finally just looks at me and he says, "Angela, there's got to be something wrong. You can't be this happy all the time." And I just remember thinking, what is your problem? And I remember being so sort of taken back and frustrated with him, because I don't even think I responded, because I really just sat there thinking, I'm not happy. There's nothing happy about being right here, right now. I was in Nome, Alaska, beautiful, beautiful Nome, but in a situation that was really difficult. I hadn't slept in probably weeks. Seriously, the sun had hardly ever not gone down. It's 24-hour daylight, so I couldn't sleep. And on top of that, I was at the hospital all the time. I was the only chaplain at the hospital. My counterparts for the CPE program were in other facilities throughout the town. And on top of the exhaustion, I was miles and miles and miles and time zones away from family, and being the pastor and chaplain dealing with really difficult situations. The situation in parts of Alaska, rural Alaska, is really desperate. People struggling with alcoholism, with addiction to gambling, with rape and incest and family problems that you can't even begin to describe. I don't even know that week how many people I had die next to me in the hospital with 19 beds. I wanted to say to him, I'm not happy. How could one be? But it was joy. It was joy that I had to live in, that I had to trust in, that I had to believe in the midst of offering people a gift from God. Paul, here in our text to the Philippians, was encouraging the people in Philippi to understand that joy grows from the soil of life's challenges, because it's in and through the challenges that we are broken open to see and to feel God's presence. That's what leads to joy. It's a little bit like mixed up ingredients in bread, still making for a delicious loaf. Mixed up ingredients in life can lead to peace and joy simply because God is with us. I think being adaptive and flexible and making the best of challenges is a strength. And it leads to the heart of our call as people of faith to be a Christ-centered community, reaching out in the midst of our church world, but also in the midst of the world outside of our church. We are called to build relationships. But even more than just relationships, we are called to build transformative relationships, helping others to know that true sense of joy, even in the midst of challenges. And these relationships that we build, that we are called to foster, they are built on grace. They are built on a love greater than our own. And they're also built on the many gifts of our lives through our challenges. And through it all, we will know joy. We will know joy in the midst of it all. Together, we're called to nurture one another, those whom we know and those whom we haven't even met yet, to nurture one another and to develop a deep sense of gratitude and joy, so that we know that no matter what's going on in our lives, that those waters of baptism, they are real. They have called us to be one, and called us always to know the presence of Christ in our lives. For that I say thanks be to God. Amen.